TJ Tanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 10, Text Number 13. Acharya Acharya Ratnera Nama Shri Chandra Shekara. Yandragare Devi Bhave Nachila Ishvara. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Acharya Ratna was also named Sri Chandrasekhara Acharya. Had a drama in his house. Lord Chaitanya played the goddess of fortune. Purport. Dramatic performances were also enacted during the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the players who took part in such dramas were all pure devotees. No outsiders were allowed. The members of ISKCON should follow this example. Whenever they stage dramatic performances about the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, the players must be pure devotees. Professional players and dramatic actors have no sense of devotional service, and therefore, although they can perform very artistically, there is no life in such performances. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to refer to such actors as Yatra Dale Narada, which means farcical Narada. Sometimes an actor in a drama plays the part of Narada Muni, although in his private life he is not at all like Narada Muni because he is not a devotee. Such actors are not needed in dramatic performances about the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to perform dramas with Advaita Prabhu, Srivas Thakur and other devotees in the house of Chandrasekhar. The place where Chandrasekhar's house was situated is now known as Rajapatna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a branch of his Sri Chaitanya Math at this place. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to accept the renounced order of life, Chandrasekhar Acharya was informed of this by Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and therefore he was also present when Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati in Katwa. It is he who first spread the word in Navadvip of Lord Chaitanya's accepting sannyas. Sri Chandrasekhar Acharya was present during many important incidences in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He therefore forms the second branch of the tree of Lord Chaitanya. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Vudaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Kauravani Vicharane Nirvise Sarasunivadi Paskatya De Siddharne. Ramachandra was a adopted son of Janavi Devi. There was one devotee named Chaitanya Das and his wife, and they got some benediction to have a son from Janavi Devi, and therefore they gave their son, Ramai, also known as Ramachandra, to Janavi Devi to be raised. So, Narottam Das Thakur also became friends of Ramachandra, who was also a great devotee, and he was one of the participants. Who was Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das, and who else went with them? Shamananda. Ramachandra was their friend. Here is some mention about drama in Krishna consciousness. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sometimes also would see plays. We know that a great playwright, Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya came to where Rupa Goswami was staying with his followers such as Ramananda Roy. In the Anti Leela, the beginning of the Anti Leela, we find Lord Chaitanya requesting Rupa Goswami to recite his play, Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. And they're full of very significant verses of glorifying the holy name and glorifying Lord Krishna's pastimes. But we also find that Ramananda Roy, he was an expert dramatic writer also. And he asked Rupa Goswami to explain different technical parts of his drama. And both of them were very familiar. In other words, drama was written according to very precise rules and regulations. And all the writers of such dramas knew exactly what the rules and regulations are, and they follow them. Similarly, find Swarup Damodar, before Lord Chaitanya would hear any play or any writing, that first Swarup Damodar would have to review it and make sure that there was no rasa basa. Because the purpose of plays is to induce or invoke within the audience transcendental feelings, which are not mundane, which have to be conveyed by the actors themselves. As Prabhupada expresses here, that mundane actors, because they don't have the proper mood, they cannot possibly invoke the proper mood in their audience. Prabhupada himself was one famous director came to his school, and for 1 year they practiced a play about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And the director said that they would not put on the play unless it was perfect. For 1 year they rehearsed, and then they did the play once. They didn't put it on a traveling play or anything. Just once they put it on, and Prabhupada, he played the part of a Dvaitacharya, and he noticed that there were many people crying in the audience. So he didn't know why the people were crying. But later on he realized it was because they actually had felt the mood of the transcendental emotions that they were trying to convey by the play. That's especially Krishna pastimes and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastimes. That is the essential purpose of putting on a play, is to invoke transcendental feelings. If not, then it's considered to be not useless, but it doesn't really convey the proper, it doesn't really fulfill the purpose of putting on the play. And so such actors actually have to be in the proper devotional mood in order to fulfill the purpose. But still we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally took part in such plays. And if we read the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we'll find out how much transcendental ecstasy the devotees felt watching the play. And practically speaking, only devotees came to see the play. Or even if they weren't, they certainly became devotees by watching the play. Prabhupada didn't give some references to plays. For instance, in Vrindavan, they're very strict about plays. If one goes to Vrindavan and sees Krishna's pastimes, one will find out that only men are taking the parts, all the parts. They didn't allow any mixing. So when the Vaikuntha players wanted to go to Vrindavan and put on the plays, Prabhupada said that this will not be very much appreciated because both men and women are in the plays. Because nowadays, in the Western world, plays have, or movies, drama, has a completely different significance. Most plays and dramas are more or less to invoke material feelings, and therefore women especially very much appreciated in plays. Matter of fact, Prabhupada said that women in sports is appreciated because men just want to see women's bodily features as they're moving in their different sports. So more or less the whole consciousness is that of exhibitionism, because that's the mentality that people are on. They have no idea of any higher goal. But Krishna consciousness, everything can be utilized in Krishna's service, whether it be drama or art or music or science or anything. But the whole aim has to be to help elevate the consciousness of the person who's performing the art, who's creating the art of drama, as well as the people who are participating. Especially in this age, when people, they don't have the capacity to appreciate philosophy. Philosophy can only be appreciated if people have some reference. In other words, if one gives philosophy and explains philosophy to people, then they have to have some practical reference by which to understand what they're talking about. But even the simplest philosophy at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that we are not this body, people are bewildered what they're talking about. Prabhupada said that people, they don't have brains anymore, practically speaking, that their brains are substituted with cow dung. Therefore, it might take 500 years, Prabhupada once said, before people can understand the difference between themselves and their body. Even Prabhupada used to point out that when he spoke to one Indologist in Russia, the head of the department, Professor Katosky, when he tried to explain to him that you're not your body, he said that that's not a fact. I am my body. And after repeatedly trying to explain to him that you're not your body, he still remained convinced that I am my body. And even when Prabhupada spoke to the one head of UNESCO, the United Nations Welfare Labor Organization, and he tried to explain to him that society should train up people to become first class, the person couldn't understand what he was talking about. Why should we have first class men? Society should look after the people who are working hard. He didn't think that there had to be any people with any intelligence to run society. He felt the real important thing is that his organization should train up people should protect the workers' rights in the world, make sure that they get enough payment for their work. Therefore, working in such an atmosphere where people are not very much enthusiastic to understand anything philosophical, one can attract them by other means, by Krishna consciousness culture, of which plays are very significant because everyone likes to watch a play. If one gives a course in philosophy, if someone goes on the street and tries to explain something philosophical, then people will ignore him. They have no attention for it. But if someone goes in a costume and looks like, you know, Peter the Rabbit, then everyone will pay attention to him. Whatever he says, they'll submissively listen to him. We have experienced that if someone gives a lecture, people don't hardly pay any attention. But if you have a puppet show and some puppet, you know, in the form of a bug or a rabbit or a snake starts talking, everyone listens very attentively. Therefore, to inject Krishna consciousness within the society, these things are very important, because people actually appreciate it. If someone is a very saintly person and he's preaching philosophy, people will think that this person just never got it together because he couldn't make any money. But if you put on drama and you have dance and all kinds of colorful things to stimulate people's senses, then people will think that this is a very important work that they're doing. This is more or less the level that most people in society are on, and generally, not just in this age, but we find that Srila Vyasadeva, he wrote the Mahabharata, and which is full of stories, just so that people, they can hear these stories and gradually become injected with the philosophy. Because understanding philosophy entails a much higher state of understanding than simply hearing stories. It's much more difficult to put into one's memory philosophy because it's for different reasons. And it's much easier to remember stories because remembrance sometimes relies upon different clues, and therefore stories, by nature, they're full of clues that embed within our memory. But philosophy, unless one is very philosophical by nature and has a lot of experience in philosophy, it's very hard to connect the different aspects of the philosophy with our previous understanding of things and therefore embed it within our memory. The conclusion is that it is a very important part, art. For instance, in artwork, Prabhupada called these art, the paintings, transcendental windows. Windows into the transcendental world. So he especially wanted artists. From the very beginning, he encouraged the artists to paint. Not for material fame, but to give people the opportunity to experience the transcendental world through their senses. As it says, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunarnu Vardhane, Harava Bhaktas. Karohara Mandira Marjanadishu, that Maharaj Ambarish, he first of all fixed his mind upon Krishna. And then he engaged all his senses in different ways in serving Krishna. Krishna consciousness is occupying the senses in the service of Krishna, which, especially in this age, people are very much fixed in their visual sense. As we've heard the expression, if I can see it, then I'll believe it. Previously, people used to believe things if they heard it. But nowadays, if you see it, then you believe it. Of course, in modern age, due to technology, you can do anything. You can create any kind of imagery. By modern photography, you can have the President of the United States in a dhoti chanting his 16 rounds. And preaching to people that you have to become, have to follow the four principles. So anything's possible by imagery. But transcendental imagery is considered non-different from Krishna. Just as Krishna and his holy name are non-different, so Krishna's form and himself are also not different. Krishna can appear in the form of the deity made out of different elements such as jewels or metal or sand or even made out of paint. So these pictures of Krishna are considered like windows into the spiritual world because Krishna can manifest himself in this particular way, and one who appreciates the pictures is actually appreciating Krishna, and therefore he makes progress in spiritual life. Similarly, one who takes the part of Krishna, if he's actually in a devotional mood, can actually help people increase their Krishna consciousness. In India, there was one actor who was taking the part of Krishna in many movies, and on the off stage, when he was in public life, hundreds of people would follow him around wherever he went because they thought he was Krishna. So much people take in importance what they see. Of course, he wasn't Krishna, or he isn't Krishna, and he doesn't act very much like Krishna either, or Krishna's devotee. But if the devotees can attract people by their senses, just like Prabhupada used to say, that prasadam is our secret weapon against Maya. We find that many people, they come to some of our centers for the Sunday feast. But they specifically come at the time of prasadam. Although the managers always try to make transcendental arrangements so that people get both philosophy and prasadam, but somehow or another that's when people show up usually. If it's not carefully planned to encourage people to come, to hear some philosophy and chant Hare Krishna, we find that there are a lot of devotees who are more or less devotees of prasadam. Prabhupada said if we simply advertise philosophy, then no one would ever come. But because we serve nice prasadam, people come. Jai Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Lord Jagannath Lord Dham Dev Srimati Spati Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. The conclusion is that we cannot expect people to be attracted by the philosophy very easily, especially at the beginning. Just like if one goes on this, I remember one time I was on the street in front of a university, this is around some years ago, and I was preaching to one, showing person the Bhagavad Gita, showing him how the body changes and how we were one time 5 years old, we had a body 15, now we have this body, and that the soul is, we ourselves were always the same. And the person said, well, that's fantastic, I'm not this body. Thank you very much. So he said, well, why don't you take the book and give a donation? He said, well, I'm not interested in the book. So he gave me the book back and shook my hand and said, thank you very much. Well, that's fantastic. I'm not this body. And then went away. The people are so bewildered by the material energy, it's very hard for them to understand anything. On the other hand, we find that people who come regularly to the Sunday feast after some years, many times, maybe after 5 or 10 years, they start inquiring. Hey, I heard you had some books. Maybe maybe you can give me one of the pamphlets. I can read it. Similarly, if someone sees a play, then they also become, at least they begin to appreciate that the Hare Krishna movement, they actually are, they have something that is unique, that's worthwhile. Just as if we distribute prasadam, people think that we're actually doing some valuable work. Because it's very difficult for them to understand or appreciate the fact that we're trying to serve the soul, because they don't believe in the soul. Although that they themselves are the soul, and that everything else is more or less a product of their imagination. But they only believe in their imagination. They don't really believe in themselves. And if you serve their imaginary concept in some way, then they appreciate that. And if that service is in such a way as that it invokes an understanding of Krishna and of themselves, then eventually they become purified and they'll be able to appreciate what our real mission is. Therefore, the conclusion is we should be careful, we should utilize everything that's available in terms of art and drama, literature, movies, everything that's available to attract the conditioned souls to Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we should be careful that it actually fulfills that purpose by following the guidelines as given by Srila Prabhupada and the examples as given in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other literatures, so that people are actually benefited and that we don't give them the wrong impression of what we're doing, that we ourselves don't become deviated from our actual purpose. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? This is your life. Well, it depends who the audience is. If the audience is guests who you just invited in on the Sunday feast, and suddenly they see, you know, the hero of the play being dragged away by the Yamadu, that it's probably not in the best of taste. On the other hand, if, you know, it's given strictly to devotees, you know, to persons who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they may be able to appreciate it more. But generally, we put on plays for at least for the audience, for a mixed audience. I mean, it should be especially, we should understand what our purpose is and how far we're able to take the purpose. Just like, for instance, you know, generally if we give a lecture, if we just tell people that you're all going to hell, that you're all sinful, you're condemned, you're breaking the four of the principles, you're all going to hell, and we leave it at that, we probably have a less of a tendency than our next lecture. Therefore, the purpose is that ultimately, if you chant the holy name, that Krishna is so merciful in this age that everything can be rectified. Although we point out that generally you give consequences, we give alternatives. Either you do this or this is the alternative. This is the consequence. That if you chant Hare Krishna, or else this will happen to you. That's to encourage people to do the positive. We tell them what the negative is. Therefore, we have to be careful that we're actually trying to get them to do the positive, and therefore we're giving them the alternative. If you don't do it, then the negative will happen. Not that you've been doing this, and this is what's going to happen to you, and that's it. Good luck. One time in Los Angeles, in America, people are sometimes a little fanatic. There was one man, all day long, he had signs back in the front of his chest and the back of his chest, and he had another placard he would be holding up, and he would be walking down the street, back and forth in the street, yelling out, "You're all going to hell, you're all going to burn." So he was doing this every day, 7 days a week. And so the devotees asked Prabhupada, "What's going to happen to this man preaching like this?" And Prabhupada said, "He'll go to hell." Because that's all he's thinking about. And at the time of leaving his body, that's what he'll think about, and he'll go to hell. So we have to be cautious that we ourselves are preaching in such a way as that we become encouraged. And that others become encouraged too. Well, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu plays and Krishna plays, Krishna Leela, one has to be very cautious that it's not rasa bhasa. If the part of the play is supposed to be serious, it's a serious pastime, and you get everyone to laugh, and the something that's supposed to be laughable, you get everyone to cry, that's called rasa bhasa. So it runs contrary to the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, so that's not very good, or Krishna's Leela. So one has to be cautious. Because in Krishna's pastimes, there are things that are meant to be funny. He has one friend, Madhu Mangal, and he specifically gets everyone to laugh. But if you're dealing with something that's supposed to be a little bit more, different, then we should be cautious. As far as other plays, sometimes the purpose of the play is to make things amusing, lighthearted, but if it gets the message across, then it may serve the purpose. I think they have one play, 16 rounds against the three Mo's, with the three Mo's or something. Going 16, so they have, go ding, you know, in America they have this, they have boxing, I don't know if they have it here. Is there boxing here? People fight with each other in the ring. They go 16 rounds with the three modes. So they have ding, you know, the fighters come out. One of them is mode of ignorance against the jiva, and he goes whack. So those things are meant to be funny. Yes.
How do we strike the proper balance when we're making our cultural presentation? We want to give the people as much preaching, as much Krishna consciousness as they can take at their level, but then not so much that they get wandered, they is a little different, so is it better to be a little more on the liberal, more on the liberal side than the conservative side? Giving them, too much, rather than be a little stronger,
Well, we have examples in our society of cultural presentations. For instance, the diorama exhibits in Detroit and Los Angeles, where we can see more or less the type of presentation is not really very disturbing in those presentations. I don't remember, what really disturbs people when they see, like, our diorama exhibition of the cow with the head of a man, and the cow with the head of a man, and the man with the head of a cow, and the man's butchering the cow. These things people look at and they can't relate to it. They can't understand what you're doing. Or if you show an exhibition of Hiranyakashipu being ripped apart, and the intestines are flying everywhere, then people wonder, what are these people's message? So those type of things are probably unnecessarily disturbing to people who don't have a background. So better to give them things that are not so disturbing, but give them at least a background over our philosophy. So later on, disturbing elements can be introduced. Yeah, of course, one of the reasons why they did is because that was the only dioramas available. And it does attract students, at least. Come over and see who's being killed. But people generally, when you just put it there, unless you have someone preaching and explaining it, people tend to get bewildered, what's going on here. What is the message? That's just a case in point, that generally you want to introduce some background information, such as you said, the diorama exhibition, so that when they see something disturbing, they're able to, assimilate it into a certain context. Just like when we see Hiranyakashipu being ripped apart by Lord Nrisimhadev, the devotees feel secure, because at least they think they take the part of Prahlad rather than Hiranyakashipu. On the other hand, other people may wonder, who am I? Am I so Prahlad, or am I supposed to be Hiranyakashipu? Anything else? Yes. Lord Vishnu? You mean Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, if he has mother and father?
Yes.
Not that I know of. Anyhow, that type of confusion is not so bad. Anything else? Where do they go outside for culture? They think that's culture? Where do they go outside for culture?
Or some videos, Jesus Christ, or
nature film. Anyhow, that it's a fact that it would be nice if we had all kinds of productions, you know, explaining all different levels of people about Krishna consciousness. In India, previously, they used to have all the films, all the artwork, everything was all dedicated to Krishna, just to keep people busy in Krishna's service. But that's not available. But these substitutes, you know, are certainly not very high-class substitutes either. Most of the films, practically everything outside of, even these Indian films depicting Krishna's pastimes, generally are quite low class, not very devotional, full of speculations, and impersonalist philosophy. So what to speak of the Karmis movies? You know, they're full of materialistic thoughts and impersonalism. So that type of culture is considered animal culture, which is something we're trying to avoid. But it would be nice in the course of time, I'm sure, as the movement expands, becomes more successful, then these things will be incorporated. In the meantime, because it's transcendental, one can watch the films about Krishna again and again, just like they have this film, which is very nicely done, Sita's Wedding. So devotees can watch that again and again. And if they get tired of it, then they can chant Hare Krishna. Or if they have nothing else to do, they can go out and distribute some books and see what modern culture is really like. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.